It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, John, what's your football opinion of the Myles Garrett point? Not sure the Lions have traded for him, but what does Za'Darius Smith look like without Myles Garrett commanding attention opposite the line of... opposite the formation. Want to get that. Plus your question about the swagger. But let's start with no Myles Garrett for Za'Darius Smith. Do you worry about his production dipping?
No. I think he's still going to be very productive. He's going to be the guy that they're setting up in a number of different ways, whether it's games, to get home. And yeah, okay, there's not a bona fide pass rusher opposite him, meaning on the other edge. Do we think Aleem McNeil is a bona fide pass rusher from the defensive tackle position? How about DJ Reader? Both guys can pressure the pocket. Levi Onwuzurike has done a really nice job of pressuring the pocket. So you're going to be able to create pressure other than Za'Darius Smith. Now, that pressure hasn't gotten home, but now all of a sudden you have a guy that can finish the deal.
Yeah, so I pointed out the pass rush win rate, which is one of those metrics, but it just basically says when you're one-on-one, how often do you win the matchup? And he wins like 20%, which is really, really good. To me, it's having a guy that you can put on one line, one side of the line of scrimmage, one edge, because then you can do what they did last year with Aiden. And Za'Darius isn't Aiden, but late in the season, Detroit got extra pressure by blitzing opposite Aiden Hutchinson.
Sure.
So they could rely on one competent edge player and then manufacture it from the other side. Without Za'Darius, they were guessing. I mean, the blitzes just had to kind of be guessing. Now you can say, hey, Za'Darius, we'll put you on one side. We can schematically decide when to deploy a safety blitz, a linebacker blitz, something off the other side to where we can get Za'Darius one-on-one. And then you're right. I do think the interior plays part of the math of that, right? If Aleem McNeil, and I think a lot is on Aleem McNeil, they paid him.
Yep.
Go win your one-on-ones. If he does that and demands a double team, Za'Darius will also be a guy who gets freed up more often.
It's about creating matchups that are favorable to you.
Yep.
And if they're going to double team Za'Darius Smith, he's not able to get home, that does mean everybody else is singled up. It also means that you can create pressure in other ways. You mentioned the blitz.
Mm-hmm.
You can also create it by running twists, yep, and stunts up front. And here's one thing I think Aleem McNeil, not a lot of people talk about because it's not sexy. He does a great job of freeing up other rushers. So does DJ Reader. When you're a three technique, or even if you're going from a two, and you are running a game with whoever the other edge is, or it's a three-man game where it's, you know, a TTE, or you put in a linebacker, you put any initials you want. When he's the first one and he's trying to pick off an offensive tackle, one option is, hey, I hit your hip, I ricochet, and I get to the quarterback. The other option, which has been more profitable for the Detroit Lions, is I consume two guys, and now we got a free runner coming around. Those can get home. It takes a little bit more time because your secondary is playing good. And that's when you start talking about marrying up what you have to do up front, not just one-on-one matchups, but winning in games with what's going on the back end as well.
Makes sense to me. Ticket text 248-539-9797 will knock out some phone calls. But I want you to bring up this point about the Lions and the swagger, with not only that they're playing with on the field, but off the field too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, did you see how Amon-Ra St. Brown showed up to the game?
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay sucks. In big, bold letters. I think we all saw Brian Branch and his two-finger salute to the Green Bay sideline and crowd. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think there's anybody that's going to sit there and say, I like that. And we heard from Dan Campbell, like, the second penalty is the one he's more concerned about. You don't want to take away the aggression of, you don't want to get kicked out of the game, but you can live with cost of doing business, 15 yards and a personal foul, but now you add another 15 onto it because you give the two-finger salute. But there's a certain swagger that they're playing with. There's a certain demeanor that they're playing with when they're up big in Dallas. Hey, we're going to throw it to our offensive line. And we hear the response from Chris Christie. We hear the response from Jerry Jones when he's talking to radio hosts. Like, you hear the effect that the Detroit Lions are having on their opponents. And we also see the effect, the Honolulu Flu.
Throw in Xavier McKinney's comments before the game last week where he goes, hey, they're trying to embarrass people. Do you feel a shift? Like, locally, we are all aboard. We love this. We eat this stuff up. It's a good, competitive, physical team playing with an edge, right? I love a lot of the swagger we're seeing. I love that St. Brown has an issue with Green Bay and, more importantly, backs it up. But are you feeling something shift nationally where the Lions were the lovable underdog? And now they're this bully. They're the bad guy. Do you see that shift at all nationally?
You know, I think a little has changed since the Dallas game. And I think it goes with Chris Christie's comments. And they were over the top.
Sure.
But he didn't like it. And he's a Cowboy fan. I think it rubbed people the wrong way a little bit. What they kind of excessively, in some people's minds, tried to make sure an offensive lineman...
But it wasn't understandably against Dallas. So. It was against the NFL.
Right, but they were trying to cash a receipt multiple times.
What's
right
wrong
there.
With that?
There's nothing from our perspective. I'm not getting wrong. I love it. You guys know. I want to make it clear. I love this. I think what's happening here is they're beating teams so bad, and they're physically pummeling them. The Honolulu Flu is a real thing. Somehow the Titans overcame it, but they played another bad team. The carryover effect, and I think other teams and players in this league are a little jealous,
envious of
what they've accomplished. Like, I think the opponent, like Green Bay the other day, what was defensive linemen late in the game were trying to talk trash to Goff, saying we'll see you again or something like that. And
well, yeah, literally, there's another game on the schedule, buddy.
Yeah, you know, and it's like. They're just not as good, and I think they know it.
Well, you know what it is? It's for years, this was a game that they got to, you know, frolic and roll and rub it in, and now the roles are reversed, and they don't like it so much.
Yeah.
They hate us because they ain't us type of thing is now starting to take effect. It was one thing when the Lions were the cute underdog, but now that they're going in, stealing your soul, running up the score, they don't let off the gas, teams don't like it so much. Other fans are starting to label this team as this or that, and you know what? Too bad. Get better. We've been on the other side long enough. Too bad. Get better.
Yeah. We're going to have to do this for a lot longer to make up for what has happened to the Detroit Lions over the number of decades that it has taken to get to this point. But when you start talking about, you know, are other teams looking at the Lions in a way, and I'll even go back to some of this will create a conversation of the Brian Branch hit. But last year, what was the conversation about Kirby Joseph?
Nice, dirty player.
Dirty player, right? So, okay, you go low on a tight end. And, okay, I think we all like TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He was great here. But we're sad to see him go to Minnesota.
Right.
Upset that he tore his ACL. It happens in the games. But the conversation, because it happened a couple of times for Kirby Joseph, was he's a dirty player. No. He's playing within the rules. And now all of a sudden you have Brian Branch, who I don't know that he was going to go low on him, and it was a receiver, but he goes too high. What is a defensive player supposed to do?
Supposed to hit a very specific box in the middle of their
it's
body.
It's like the strike zone in baseball.
But it's a moving strike zone that goes east, west, north, and south. The ball can go up, down, whatever, and you have to adjust in real time. And listen, Brian Branch, even Dan Campbell has acknowledged, like, you don't want to see that hit in football, but he doesn't want to take the edge away. He doesn't want to take away the intensity that his team plays with. I don't find them to be a dirty team. Maybe it's because I'm a Lions fan. But the perception of this team, I'm sure, is changing nationally. A ticket texter says, I am a fan of another team. From an objective perspective, people are turning on this team. People on the outside see them as dirty, classless, loud, obnoxious. The cute thing is dead. You guys are officially the bad boy Pistons now. Take no prisoners. Do you feel that shift? 248-539-9797. I kind of see it.
I mean, yeah, okay, you could, like, okay, they're a physical team. And there are some teams that are more, you know, they're more pass happy, right? This is a run it down your throat. We're going to use it to set up the play action. We're going to play physical on defense. We're going to stop the run. Like, this is a more of an old school football mentality. But I don't see it as dirty. I don't see it as bad boy-esque, right? It's not, hey, Jordan's going to the hole and we're going to, you know, we're going to tackle them five different ways.
Fine. It's not bad boys. It's going to work. Which is the more refined, hard-nosed, we're going to get up in you and play tight defense as a team.
Yeah. The bite your kneecaps, that seems more going to work.
Okay. Either way, I do think you are becoming a pain in the ass of everybody
this
in the NFL.
This is a blue-collar town. Yes. It's a blue-collar team. And they are there's no other team, I think, that marries the mentality and culture of their team with the city better than Detroit has.
I think there's a little psychological warfare going on here, too. Once you know you're really good and you can back it up and they've proven that, you can start playing games with people and their minds. It works, doesn't it, John?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at you, like, my judgment of you is your profile as a player was that stuff didn't bother you that much. You had a mentality to overcome that. But let's just face it, you can get under people's skins more than ever right now.
And, oh, yeah.
And I think they're playing with psychological games a little bit. And that's okay.
And it's not only okay, it's good.
And you play those games because they're not always going to work. In fact, more times than not, they won't. But it might only be one time that it needs to work. And it does.
Phone calls. You guys have thoughts? We'll mix those in. It's 97.1.
Hey, if you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, has got you covered with the Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Now, every single Wednesday, you can get parlay profit boosts on everything from spreads to over-unders and even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays reward stack, and who knows, it might just become your favorite day of the week. Look for the Hump Day Parlays reward stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. And if you're new to FanDuel, visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to get signed up. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ticket text pouring in, talking about how the Lions are perceived. Once a lovable loser, then an inspiring underdog, are they now becoming bullies? Are they now becoming the bad guys? If you're another team in the league and you're watching them embarrass people, run up the score, some would say. I would say it's playing hard the entire game. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the perception of this team change? Amon Ross St. Brown shows up with a Green Bay Sucks hoodie. He's not afraid, right? This team is going to rub your face in it when they beat you. Texter says they're like Cobra Kai. The enemy deserves no mercy. Strike first. This one says, this team was the perennial doormat, the butt of jokes. To quote Breaking Bad, they are now the one who knocks, afraid of none, and command fear and respect from others. Texter says, I want the whole league and every other fan base to hate the Lions because we beat them and embarrass them. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you don't like it, play better. Texter says, you guys are losing out on money because Green Bay lives in your head rent-free. You view them as a hated rival. They view you as just another game. Well, they should probably up their game then because...
It's five of the last six. I mean, it's...
Maybe they should take it more seriously.
Yeah. I mean, okay, at the end of 22, you prevented them from going to the playoffs. In 23, okay, they came here and beat you. We talked about this last week.
I know.
This is annoying. And oh, they're going to be so mad because you went there last year in week three and beat them. How come that doesn't work the same way where we could be upset because they came here on Thanksgiving Day?
Like, I don't think it's some own to be like, we don't think of you very much. You should. This is the best team in the division. The team standing in your way. You better take it more seriously. It's not some own to be like, we don't care enough about the game. Cool. Sweet, dude.
I'm also very offended by the fact that anytime another team is mentioned, that team's fan base can say, rent-free. It's not how it works.
Texter says, I'd rather be the bad boys of the NFL and win the championship than be the doormat of the league and be trash for 5 to 10 years, signed Oscar. Texter says, you can tell this is a fan base that hasn't won anything. Too bad, get better. What exactly have we won yet? Pump the brakes on the bravado. My God. My response would be, my God, let us enjoy a good football team.
Yeah.
Let's get to the phones. John in Flushing, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Za'Darius Smith is going to be welcomed here and feel at home in that locker room. I mean, the culture that they have, and you can tell from the post-game interviews and stuff when they're out telling each other that they love each other, and he is going to excel because of that environment.
I buy that. I do. He wants to be here. He's a vet, wants to chase Super Bowl, and the culture here is unquestioned. John, I think it's a good point.
Just shaking his head.
Shaking my head. We got William and Flint. You're on 97.1, William.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I got 2 points. I am a diehard Lions fan. 24-3 at halftime last January still haunts me as much as David Fry's home run. But here it is. 2 points. We got to knock off the nonsense. They wanted to have some laughs. They wanted to throw one to Penei Sewell. But do you remember Penei Sewell on a play that got called back so it didn't count? He got chopped down at the 2-yard line by a tackle. That helmet could have hit his knee, and then how much we'll be laughing about doing that when we're that far ahead. Number two, Brian Branch, love him. I want him to be Ronnie Lott or Rod Woodson, but when you lower your helmet like that, you are the one that's going to get hurt more often than not. I think back 40 years to Nick Bonacani's son playing for the Citadel. That's why he got paralyzed. That's going to hurt the Lions if he's out of the game. And then the double bird hurts the Lions that game because of a knucklehead move. I love these guys, but we got to stop the nonsense. Win the game. Scoreboard is what rubs it in. Thanks.
Yeah, listen, they're doing both. They are rubbing it in on the scoreboard, which is where it matters most.
Yeah. And injuries do matter. Injuries could happen anytime. I mean, Penei Sewell could have gotten hurt. Then the sack that he gave up last week, he tripped on Zeitler's leg. If he rolls his ankle, is somebody going to say, oh, well, he shouldn't have been in there at that time? Shouldn't have been in that position.
Right. Did you notice he mentioned in the phone call that the thing that still haunts him is the NFC title game where they're up 17 points?
Yeah.
Don't you want a team that just continues head down, pour it on, never let up? Like, if that it haunts
never
you.
Never forget.
Exactly. Quick phone call. One more. John in Southfield. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I like the culture of the Lions right now because we were the joke of the NFL for the longest. Everybody clowned the Lions and talked bad about the Lions. And it's like, finally, we're a good team, and a lot of teams and a lot of fans can't deal with that. I mean, that's always been with Detroit teams, even with the Pistons. It's like, that's just how it is in this town, in this city. you know, we're a blue-collar team, mm-hmm. and we play hard. And sometimes it can get physical, but it's a lot of other teams that do other little stuff. But, like right now, Kansas City, they're undefeated. But it does seem like the refs have given them a couple of games, especially the Atlanta game, where the guy hits the guy and he didn't even play on the ball in the end zone. That could have been a loss for them. And it's like, nobody says no. That's like, oh, well, they're the champs. So it's just, they bypass that. But here, the Lions, we haven't won anything yet, but we're on the road to being better, and everybody has a problem with it because they say we ran the score. No, with Dallas, I think that was personal because the whole little incident last year with the uneligible yes. receiver when the guy clearly checked in, it's like, okay, so now we're going to make it to where it's not going to come down to the end of the game. We're going to beat you guys, and that's that.
Yeah.
So now it's not going to be a thing. We're going to take the refs totally out of these games. We're going to dominate.
And that's a great point, too, because so much Alliance history is people complaining about the referees. Mm-hmm. Don't leave it up to a call.
Right, yeah. You know, complete the process of the catch. Right. Like, there are rules that have been made for what has happened in Lions games.
Let's get to Heather in the news.
Well, Mike Rogers and Alyssa Slotkin are still in a tight race for Michigan's Senate seat. With an estimated 98% of ballots counted, Slotkin has a 48.6% of the vote, while Rogers has 48.3% at this moment. Now, Michigan, I saw this stat, hasn't elected a Republican U.S. senator since 1994, and no Republican has been elected to the office in the state during a presidential year going back to the 70s. And other major news, which I'm sure at this point you're all wide awake and have seen the news.
Yep.
Trump was elected president. A victory in Wisconsin early this morning pushed him past that 270 electoral votes needed to secure the White House. After that, in Wisconsin, he had victories followed in Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina.
Michigan's still not official.
I don't think it is official. You know, I kind of stopped looking.
Michigan isn't called yet officially in most places.
But other Midwest states that were the big, you know, talking points, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. you also got North Carolina, Georgia, which were seen as potential toss-ups. I mean, and he's going to win the popular vote, which I don't think people expected that.
Well, the thing about that is it's the first popular vote win by Republicans since 2004,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually going to be a larger margin of victory, more likely. The largest margin of victory by a Republican popular vote-wise since 1988. Which was Bush versus Dukakis, the first Bush.
Mm-hmm. He will be the oldest.
Yes, 78.
The original Bush.
The oldest president at 78 and the first felon to be elected president
in
the United States.
That is true.
All right.
Yes. Downtown Detroit is just a few weeks away from the 21st annual Detroit tree lighting ceremony, which is fun. I've never done it, but it's one of those things I say I like to do, but I probably will never actually do it. Like, I'd like to go to the Thanksgiving Day parade. I say I'd like to go, but I'll never actually go. I'd like to see the tree lighting. I'll never actually do it. But if you want to do it, the tree is actually arriving soon to Campus Martius. And then crews are going to work to, obviously, get the tree decorated before the official tree lighting on November 22nd. That's a Friday. All sorts of festivities going on that day. There's going to be musical performances, ice skating performances, food trucks with holiday drink specials, all sorts of stuff. If you can't make it downtown, you can watch on TV.
That's cool.
When does Christmas season start in your mind?
It's already started.
Yeah.
I've already watched a Christmas movie.
Which Christmas movie?
Bad Moms Christmas.
Bad Moms? Not even like a classic.
Yeah. Bad Moms, yeah. I'll go with Bad Santa.
When are they going to light the Hanukkah bush?
I don't know.
Is that the original?
Behave.
Children.
To me, Christmas is in December. Can't Thanksgiving get its own month?
Well, you know how I feel about Thanksgiving.
I know.
It's my least favorite holiday, so I just skip right over that. We still do have some fall decorations set up. We still have tombstones in the front yard. So technically, it's like it's the
transition.
Yeah. We've got some Christmas stuff coming in and Halloween stuff still set out. So we're right there in the between time. This is a great story. Monroe County deputy and his canine partner recently received an award after locating a missing person who was believed to be in danger. So this deputy, Danny Greenwood, and canine officer Arlo were able to help find this missing person on November 17th of last year. And thanks to their work, this person was found unharmed. So they received an award. Greenwood was given a canine life-saving award from the National Association of Professional Canine Handlers in Alpena, also received recognition from the sheriff's office earlier this year. So pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
if you're a fan of The Wizard of Oz, like, I guess I could say I am, or more, I was when I was a kid. The ruby slippers worn by Judy Garland are for sale nearly two decades after they were stolen.
Oh.
So in 2005, somebody actually smashed through a display case at the Judy Garland Museum and stole the slippers. They were like missing for a long time. 2018, the FBI finally recovered these slippers. And now they're up for sale at an auction. The museum is trying to get their hands on them. They want to have them at the museum. But if you want them, you can bid through December 7th.
Oh, okay. What's the expected price tag?
Surprisingly, this article doesn't say, but I would imagine
a lot.
They would sell for a lot. So there's only four pair that at least remain. Yeah. So.
Useless question. What size are they?
I don't know. I picture them being very, very, very little, like a size like 5 or something very small.
They're too small, John.
I have no idea. I don't know what size. I mean, I feel like Judy Garland was a small woman, so I feel like she couldn't have had huge feet. I don't
know. You don't like it, but I love John's impossible questions during the news. Like, well, how would you know?
It's kind of a legitimate question.
The bidding price should have been on there. I want to know, right. Like, what's the starting bidding price? Maybe I could just go and do more research, but I haven't. So, I don't know. But the size, I'm sure I could find that too. Okay. They're just not in this article. It's a poorly written article. Wherever this came from, it's their fault, not mine.
Judy Garland.
Yes.
Wore
what?
A size 5.
Well, there you have it.
Those are tiny, feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very little.
Heather with the news. It's 97.1.
All right, you guys. I've got this really cool story I want to tell you. I was talking to Dr. Berkowitz from Michigan Hair Restoration, and he was telling me about this wedding that he was at recently. He said, you know, it was an awesome wedding downtown, but he said one of his patients came up to him really excited to introduce Dr. B to his fiance, and he continued on to say that it was his hair restoration treatment with Dr. B that ultimately changed his life, and it was because of his newfound confidence that he was able to go online and meet her. And then a little while later at that exact same wedding, another one of Dr. B's patients came up to him with almost that exact same story, but this time they were already married, and this patient was excited to introduce Dr. B to his wife, who he wouldn't have met if he didn't go to see Dr. B. Pretty cool story. And you guys, your life is waiting for you on the other side of your hair loss treatment. With a full head of hair that you can run your hands through, who knows what you'll have the confidence to do. So go to MichiganHairRestoration.com today and schedule your consult with Dr. B. That's MichiganHairRestoration.com.
We stumbled onto something today, how the Lions are perceived. Have you noticed a change? 248-539-9797. The lovable losers to the fun underdog story, the likable football team. But now they're beating people and they're embarrassing people and they're taking everybody's lunch money. Have you noticed the perception around this football team change? And it's a badge of honor, by the way. Teams don't like good teams. Fan bases don't like losing. So you become persona non grata. If you've experienced that, we'd love to take some calls and ticket texts on it. John, we have not spent a lot of time on Michigan State football. And listen, the standards are not as high for this team in year one of Jonathan Smith as they are for Michigan. I feel like we've spent quite a bit of time going through Michigan's flaws this season, and there are many.
Rightfully so.
With Michigan State, you had an Aiden Chiles question.
I'll answer it quickly so that I don't get all of the Spartan hate. Is the Big Ten too big for Aiden Chiles? And my answer is not yet.
Okay.
And so, in short, no. Because he's 19 years. He just turned 19 in September. He is a very young sophomore. Now, I understand a lot is expected as a starting quarterback. It's a new team for him. It's a new team for so many of the players. Offensive line, receivers, coach. Now, it's not a new coach for him. He came with Jonathan Smith from Oregon State, but he's making a lot of young mistakes. And okay, he's making them throughout the course of a year. You would like to see him play better, but did he not play better against Iowa? Did he not play better when they played Maryland at the beginning of the season?
It was probably his best game.
And so what you're going to see with a young quarterback, especially a young quarterback with a lot of talent that is just simply trying to make something happen, is going to be a roller coaster year. He is forcing some things. He held onto the ball too long and wasn't aware that Josiah Stewart was chasing him in the Michigan game. Ended up being a large part of costing them the game.
Yep.
Those are all lessons that you can learn, and you would like to get there faster, but there's other facets of that team that also need to get there faster. I think he's going to be just fine. I think he is he's a threat in the Big Ten because of his athletic ability, strong arm. Now he just has to hone the skills.
So why ask the question? Have you seen Spartan fans unnecessarily?
Oh, I hear it all the time. Yeah. Aiden Childs shouldn't be in the Big Ten. Aiden Childs isn't a starting quarterback in the Big Ten. They want to cast him by the side. And whether it's Spartan fans or it's other college football fans, hold on. He is very young, inexperienced, and he's playing with a team that is also trying to figure it out, with a coaching staff that's trying to figure out the Big Ten.
I thought he'd be playing better than he is right now.
Are you ready to cast him aside?
No, I'm not. But let's have the conversation. And maybe that's on me for expecting more at this point. He leads the Big Ten in interceptions. I didn't expect that we would get to November and Aiden Childs would be leading the conference in interceptions. I thought he could steal a game or two. And you could accuse, you could label the Maryland game as a game that he went out and stole for Michigan State, right? On the road, 3 touchdowns, hit some big time downfield throws. I haven't seen much of that since. He doesn't throw for 200 yards. He doesn't throw for 2 touchdowns. He's like a game manager who makes a bunch of mistakes.
Well, that's
a concern.
Some of that is certainly on him.
Yeah.
It's also, what are some of his best assets that he's not being utilized enough? He's got 170 yards rushing. When I look at that, I think that's a missed opportunity.
Could be more.
I also look and say, okay, there's missed opportunity when they're playing against Michigan to attack a secondary that has underperformed and other teams have thrown for 300 yards. Like, why aren't they calling more pass plays in that situation?
No, I'm not throwing him out. I'm not casting him aside, I think was the phrase you used. But I am going to ask more of him. And I think Spartan fans should be asking for more from Aiden Childs. And the season's not over, and he should be their quarterback next season. And maybe that's when the light bulb comes on. Full year under his belt, some continuity, bring back some receivers, build off of this. But I'd like to see more even at the end of this season from him.
Well, you're going to get the opportunity. It's not like they're yanking him. He's going to play against Illinois. He'll play against Purdue and Rutgers. And I think all three of those teams...
Those are winnable games.
Are winnable games, but they're also teams that they should put him in position for success. And I'm not saying that, you know, everything is on the coaching staff. Certainly, a lot of it is on the player. But as he continues to figure it out, what does he do really well?
Yeah.
And he could be on the move, and he can, you know, create things downfield. He can be on the move and gain yardage with his feet. He's a good athlete that I think is being underutilized as a runner.
Well, I think it's tough, too. They can't run the ball very well. So that takes play action as one of those tools out of the toolbox. Because I would love to see... I mean, that's what makes Jared Goff great. It's what helps so many quarterbacks out is the run game and the play action pass off of it. Plus, his offensive line isn't great, so he can't exactly go through the progressions in a composed manner.
Right.
You hope that this baptism by fire pays off, right? I mean, that's what you tell yourself if you're a Michigan State fan is he's going to go through this right now. He's going to take his lumps, and when we actually pass protect for him, when we have a consistent run game week to week, it's going to look a hell of a lot better.
And I think there are weapons that he has to throw the ball to are good. But I also think they could be better. And so there's some drops. There's some wrong routes. There's some issues going on there. So I think he is taking the unnecessary heat. Now, he's thrown 11 interceptions.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to break down every single one.
No,
some
but
of
like
them
Indiana.
Are going to be quarterbacks. Some of them are going to be... receiver. There's tips.
So the Indiana one, the most recent game, he had 2 picks.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, he threw over the middle of the field. It hit off a linebacker's hands and then was intercepted by a second Indiana defender. The throw was off target to Velling, his tight end. Can't happen. Over the middle, poor ball placement. That's a quarterback's interception, 100%. The second one, there is replay that shows maybe the ball bobbled when it hit the ground, and if it was challenged, it might not have stood.
it was still a throw behind his receiver. Like, a lot of his interceptions to me are either poor decisions or poor ball placement. So we could do all 11 and we could do it up on a projector screen. I would tell you, I bet you most of them are Aiden Chiles mistakes more than it is a teammate tips a ball or someone runs the wrong route.
It doesn't matter if 10 of them are, if all 11 are quarterbacks or not. They're going to be assessed to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the key is you have to make better decisions. And I think once he gets the chance to get to the offseason, slow things down, take a look at the film, I think Jonathan Smith and his coaching staff are going to do wonders with him throughout the course of the offseason.
Couple quick ticket texts. I'm a Spartan fan. I really hope Chiles hits the portal and Smith leaves. They're both trash.
Oh, and Jonathan Smith leaves?
That's what he says.
Really? Wow.
I think that's a lot of emotion talking there. And I'm not telling you it's been a flawless year for either of these guys, but I mean, what's the path for MSU if Chiles leaves? What's the path?
Well, it's transfer portal.
Coveted transfer guy. Like, I mean, if you can't make it work with him, is it okay? The next one says, why would you spend any time on MSU? They continue to be irrelevant. If they were smart, they would move out of the Big Ten. They can't compete. I'm an MSU alum. It's embarrassing. Well, if you're an MSU alum, you shouldn't want them to leave the Big Ten.
Oh, you still want money, don't you?
It's your geographical rivals. It's a big old payday from the TV networks, right? And you want to compete.
Yeah, where are they going to go?
The Big 12?
Oh, no, but maybe they're going to join Washington State and Oregon State, and then Michigan State. It'll be the state conference of the Pac-12.
I think that's so weak. Like, I think something's happening right now in college football is extremely important for other teams who fans who think that way, or the excuse making is... I'll blame myself some. I thought one of the things with the new college football world would be that teams would maybe get left behind. And that means that they would never be able to compete for a national championship again.
See, but I think, and I understood that point, but I look at Indiana this year and I tell you, there's always going to be a shot if you hire the right coach and get the right players. You can be the fourth best team in the Big Ten and make the college football playoff.
I think it's really important for the health of this sport and that line of reasoning that Indiana not only makes the playoff, but wins a game. Sure. And to me, that would take away the excuses. That right there, you're a Michigan State fan admitting that, okay, so Indiana can compete in this new world and you can't?
Right. No, I think Indiana, this last week was embarrassing for a number of reasons. One, the scoreboard. You give up 47 unanswered, lose by 5 touchdowns. And it's Indiana, a program where if they can do it, so can you. So listen, Michigan State fans, you're welcome. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
When I needed a new furnace and AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment and prices. The biggest difference is their customer service. It's also the 5-year warranty, so I know I'm covered. And as we go to sell our house, I know that whoever owns the house next is also covered. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. They even offer generators. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast installation. You want to talk fast? They also offer same-day service. You can find more information on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
John asked the question, and he answered it very succinctly, but it creates a conversation. Aiden Chiles, is the Big Ten too big for him? And John, you said no, it's not. That this is what happens for a young player who doesn't have a ton of support, who's taken his lumps. But it's a conversation because Aiden Chiles was a heavily hyped quarterback. And I don't think there's any disputing that he's underachieved to this point. He leads the Big Ten with 11 interceptions, and there are very few wow games. The Maryland game was a wow game. He still threw 2 picks in the game, but at least I got to see 3 touchdowns, some big time, like I would argue, NFL caliber throws. But when you see that he has that potential, you're all that more disappointed when he doesn't live up to it. And I want to be fair about this. This has been the discussion for Michigan in the past. Shea Patterson, all the hype in the world, he didn't produce. You got to be critical of it. It can't be, well, he should have in the hype and he... Tate Forcier. I mean, we could go all the way back to the quarterbacks that Michigan has brought in with hype and they didn't perform. And I'm not willing to label Chiles as a failure, but you got to see more from him. And we've asked Michigan State fans for their opinions. 248-539-9797. And we've gotten some good responses. Texter says, Childs could beat any team on any given day, but also lose to any team. That's fun for a school like Illinois, but at MSU, we need more. That's not going to fly.
Right, but it's also very indicative of a young quarterback. And not everybody comes in as a freshman and is Johnny Football. Not everybody, you know, the light bulb doesn't go. And I'm not saying the light bulb ever does go on. I just don't think you should throw him out at this point.
Childs is fun, but I fear his ceiling is fun, and he can't lead to a championship due to all of these turnovers. Texter said, the guy saying Childs and Smith need to leave is a moron. They aren't good, but my God, it's year one. Please give them a break. Another person says, that was not an MSU fan. That had to be a Michigan troll. Don't even read that on the air. Speaking of trolls, this one says, why are we letting a Michigan employee and a closet Michigan fan talk MSU? First of all, we're not letting anybody do anything. It's a conversation for right. MSU fans. If you want some airtime, if you want to talk about your program, it's the most important position on the field. Aiden Childs, floor is yours. We don't have to talk about Michigan State. We want to give them some airtime because I think it's interesting.
It is interesting. And it's interesting because this is how, if you could hit on a quarterback that's already on your roster, a guy that has a lot of physical traits that you look and you say, yes, that could be a good quarterback. Strong arm, yep. Athlete. Now it's just a matter of fine-tuning that. And yeah, okay, number one thing, don't throw it to the other team. But it's about reading defenses. It's about having a better team around him that also allows him to be better.
Texter says, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool, green-blooded Spartan. I see all the talent in the world in Childs. But the jury is still out for Smith. The problem I see is continuity. Childs needs to be coached up. Stop the fumbles and the interceptions, and we can compete. We can be competitive. But between NIL and the transfer portal, I have no idea who's going to be on my team year to year. Childs has the ability to be the best QB in this conference, Ben in Roseville. Would you agree that ceiling is there?
What's the ceiling?
Best QB in the Big Ten.
Sure. I think that's maybe by next year, it might be too big of a leap. But nobody says he has to hit that next year.
Like, who are the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten? Like, Dylan Gabriel is clearly performing well. He won't be here next year.
Yeah, he won't be here next year.
Will Howard, I have not been overly impressed with, to be honest. Rourke has got to be in his last year eligibility, I believe, with Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with the quarterbacks at Penn State. Aller's another one of these guys. Big pedigree, big arm, supposed to be, hasn't been.
The best quarterback in next year's Big Ten is probably not currently in the Big Ten.
That's probably true.
And so that's the answer.
Yeah.
Is, can he be of the returners? Sure. But who's going to be in the Big Ten next year in terms of starting quarterbacks?
Maybe Bryce Underwood.
Sure.
Could be.
Texter says he's a young quarterback, needs the experience. He's getting that this season. If it were another quarterback that had experience and was failing, everybody would be crying to put him in to get experience. If this is happening next year, he's not the guy. Definitively. This year, and we talked about it preseason for MSU, wasn't really about this year's win-loss record. We had discussed them as a team that might make a bowl game, still might make a bowl game. This year was about setting a foundation for next year. And I think that's incredibly tough in today's college football to build a foundation 1 year to the next. But it's the task that they are challenged with. Jonathan Smith in his first year has to, we talked about it, keep the team together during a tough stretch in the middle of the season. They ended up beating Iowa during that stretch. End the year on a high note, sell it to recruits, sell it to your own locker room, keep those guys here and build on it for next season. Because John, next year, there will be expectations for MSU football. It won't be enough to just make a bowl game.
No, it's going to have to be expectations are better than what it was this year.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's expecting them to go from, and maybe you are, because of what Indiana has done, going from where they are now to contending for a Big Ten championship. That's the wild card of the transfer portal. It's the wild card of the NIL. And sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. I think everybody was expecting that Ohio State would be the most dominant team in college football because of the amount of money and the amount of transfers they got. I don't know what the investment was for Indiana, but I don't think it's $20 million. Now, they might not ultimately compete with Ohio State. I don't know. We'll find out.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place.
Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.